Jeremiah chapter 11, verses 18 through 20. Please follow along with me. Yahweh made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it was against me they devised schemes, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be remembered no more." But, O Yahweh of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them. For to you have I committed my cause. Therefore, thus says Yahweh concerning the men of Anathoth, who seek your life, and say, do not prophesy in the name of Yahweh, or you will die by our hand. Therefore, thus says Yahweh of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword. Their sons and their daughters shall die by famine, and none of them shall be left. For I will bring disaster upon the men of Anathoth, the year of their punishment. Amen. We're going to see in this passage, particularly in verses 18 through 20, it says the lamb commits his cause to the righteous judge while being led to the slaughter. The lamb commits his cause to the righteous judge while being led to the slaughter. Jeremiah here in this passage is a type of Christ. He's a shadow of the Christ to come. When he says in verse 18, Yahweh made it known to me and I knew, then you showed me their deeds. Jeremiah is aware of the deeds of the people. They were wicked deeds. We read them earlier. Remember, it said, yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but everyone walked in the stubbornness of his evil heart. These are the deeds of God's chosen people, the people of Israel. And we find out in verse 19 that among the evils of God's people is to devise wicked schemes against the one sent from God to protect them. He says, but I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it was against me they devised schemes. The one who came to be the mouthpiece of God and proclaim repentance that they might be spared from the wrath of God was led as a lamb to be slaughtered. Jesus speaks of this reality in the parable of the tenants in Mark chapter 12. He says, and he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a pit for the winepress and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season came, he sent a servant to the tenants to get some of the fruit of the vineyard. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent to them another servant, and they struck him on the head and treated him shamefully. And he sent another, and him they killed. And so with many others, some they beat and some they killed. He had still one other, a beloved son. Finally, he sent to them saying, they will respect my son. But those tenants said to one another, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. And they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Jesus Christ is the son of the owner of the vineyard. Jeremiah is one of the servants that was beaten beforehand. What was said to Jesus and his prophets? What was said of them? Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more. This is what's in the heart of a sinner, isn't it? The thing made raises its fist against the one whose image he bears. He doesn't just want God dead, but also wants his fruit gone. Anything that resembles him, all that was born of him. You see this, and we've seen this in times when someone has been disgraced, right? When an actor is found in heinous sins, networks cancel their shows altogether, don't they? When a man breaks a woman's heart, she breaks it off with him and fills a box with all the memories and puts it on the curb. And I don't want to have anything to do with this man. It would not have been enough to kill Jesus, to have him become a heroic martyr. Luke 19 makes this very clear. It says in verse 46, and he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, But they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. They couldn't kill him because the people loved him. Jesus would need to not only be killed, but he would need to be disgraced and forgotten. The mob would need to be against him. And so the scheme went. Under the charge of blasphemy, he was led away. Under the guise of piety, the mob cheers as God himself, in human likeness, is beaten, given a crown of thorns, pierced, and left to die. We read this earlier in Isaiah 53. It says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a lamb that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. Unlike Jeremiah, Jesus did know that it was against him that they devised these schemes. But like Jeremiah, he commits himself to the Lord. But, O Yahweh of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause. Peter tells us, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. And God does just justly. He judges with complete righteousness. Hebrews tells us, anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. The living God. The Lord takes this great evil done against his Son very, very seriously. Jesus gave up his life for the sins of the world, a king condescending even to death for the sake of his people. And centered around this great event, there will be two outcomes, and only two. First, do you despise this gift, raising your fist against your maker in your sin? You were born dead in your sin. This is your nature inherited by Adam, that you enter this world against your maker. Your sins being the root cause among the decree of God, nevertheless, but the root cause of Jesus Christ's suffering. He died for the transgressions of his people. Your transgressions. But like I said, there will be two outcomes and only two. And if you remain in this, if you hide behind false piety while remembering him no more, you will be found profaning the very blood of Jesus Christ. The vengeance of God will be righteous against you. The vengeance that God takes for the slaughter of his Son will be upon you. And this is a fearful thing. It would be better to be found between a mother bear and her cub. So great is the love of the Father for his Son. Jeremiah asks for vengeance. And God will bring vengeance upon the death of his Son. And secondly, poetically unified and contrasted with Jeremiah, Jesus shouts something from the cross. What does he shout? He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus entrusted himself to his Father, knowing that he would inherit the nations, that he would redeem his flock from their sins, he would be raised to newness of life. And the Lord of hosts, who tests the heart and the mind, saw his righteous Son and vindicated his holy name by raising him into the land of the living. His name will be remembered for all time as the name above every name. They were unsuccessful in blotting his name out. The seed planted. Have you ever blown a dandelion into the breeze? What happens? Imagine if you thought, this will bring the end. Aha! No more dandelion. My yard is now free of dandelion. But the blowing of that dandelion out only brings more dandelions. And so it is with Jesus Christ. He was snuffed out. and yet the seed that was planted would bear much fruit. And what is among that fruit? Well, isn't it this, that those who repent receive mercy? Those who trust in him for forgiveness receive it in full. Those who look to him by faith are united to him, and their wicked deeds are absolved. The fierce love of God the Father toward his Son is applied to all who abide in him. You are found washed in his blood, redeemed, forgiven, your old self dead in the ground. The old self, with all the vengeance, is dead. The vengeance having been taken out, both on his Son and eventually on all of his enemies, who are now your enemies. And now you have God Almighty taking vengeance on behalf of his Son, which results in your deliverance from your greatest enemy, your sin, and from all your enemies who are the wicked and Satan. The cause which Jesus Christ committed to his Father is the deliverance of his people. He committed his cause to his Father, and that cause was the deliverance of his people from their wicked deeds and for the destruction of his enemies. And isn't this you, Christian? Jesus Christ's cause was to deliver you. And now the vengeance of God is your salvation, your deliverance. Jesus Christ's righteous Father did and will accomplish all of this. And Jesus Christ did do all of this with the deliverance of his people in mind. The Lamb commits his cause to the righteous judge while being led to the slaughter. Let's pray.